Upfront, inside Atlanta's entertainment industry, is brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM, WCLK.
Coming up on this week's show, Upfront talks to filmmaker Deborah Riley Draper about her new project, Coffee Will Make You Black, and the men of She Married the Ring and Forgot the Man, Stevie Bags Jr., Javon Dewan, and Pastor Mark Couch are here to chat about their CAU debut next weekend and much more. I'll also be playing music from Incognito and Mesa Leak. But first, here's Reva Blue with this week's casting buzz and entertainment news.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
Central Casting is looking for a poker game dealer for the new pilot, The Heart of Life. The male or female must be between the ages of 30 to 50 years old and must have a lot of experience. All ethnicities are welcomed. The production date is Wednesday, March 20th. If this is you, please submit an email to heart@centralcasting.com with poker in the subject line of the email. In other related entertainment news, Blackish star Anthony Anderson is set to return as host for the 50th NAACP Image Awards. Anderson is a two-time NAACP Image Awards winner for his role on the popular ABC series and will be hosting the show for the sixth consecutive year. Winners for the 50th NAACP Image Awards will be revealed during the two-hour live TV special airing on TV One on Saturday, March 30th, 2019 at 9 p.m. from the Dolby Theater in Hollywood. That's this week's Casting Buzz and Entertainment News. I'm Reva Blue.
Peace world, it's the Love King Raheem Devon, and you're listening to Ray Cornelius on Upfront.
My first segment features the cast from the new stage play, She Married the Ring and Forgot the Man, Stevie Bags Jr., Javon Dewan, and Pastor Mark Couch. The lively production features the men telling their truth about love, cheating, sex, commitment, money, religion, and much more. The guys were on campus earlier this week promoting the show and stopped by Upfront to discuss their characters and what the audience can expect.
Well, guys, welcome to Upfront. This is your second time being here, Stevie.
Yes, sir.
And I want to welcome you guys back. You guys are going to be taking over CAU next weekend, March the 16th, with the new show, She Married the Ring and Forgot the Man.
Yes, sir.
Let's start with some introductions. Let's start on my left here. Mark.
Mark Couch. Some call me Pastor Couch. I prefer to go by Mark Couch. Man, just happy to be a part of this big thing that's going on and happy to be here with you, brother.
Yeah.
Yo, this your boy Javon Dewan, man. You like to call me Vaughn.
I call you Vaughn. I don't know who Javon is.
He don't know who he is, but you know what I mean? It's the same guy. Yeah. Well, thank you for having us, man. It's going to be a blessing to be up here at Clark Atlanta University doing black excellence, man. That's it.
No problem. Mm-hmm.
My brother, Stevie Bash, checking in. Stevie Bash Jr., here with my brothers. Here with another one of my brothers who I've known for a very long time.
Yeah.
Here to share the information that we have with the people about this amazing production. It's going to change your life.
Well, let's talk about this because you guys have actually been doing the show in the Atlanta area. You guys were over at a theater company that we like to do business with, Theatrical Outfit. They
yes,
do
sir.
Amazing productions. And so you guys are bringing this to Clark Atlanta's Davidge Auditorium March 16th. How did this play get started? Because you guys are all producers from what I can understand, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah. So I'll take that. We had a concept that Mark Couch came up with called The Truth, which is a talk show. Five melanated men being able to talk their truth about everything that goes on in society, relationships, politics, economics, education, things you don't see. We only see melanated men on TV talking about sports and politics. That's it. You start getting in any other lane, you got a problem. So that concept, as opposed to us shooting a sizzle reel and putting that concept out, Mark was like, yo, Stevie, you want to be a part of this? And I called Vaughn. He said he knows Vaughn. Vaughn, I've known for years. Hey, man, you want to be a part of it? Vaughn's like, yeah, man, if you doing it, I'm in. I said, if you doing it, I'm in.
Yeah.
So then I called Q and Brad. They're like, man, if you a part of it, we know it's going to be real. Let's go sit down. Okay, Javon actually came up with the name.
she married the ring and forgot the man.
Yeah.
And the idea of controlling our own narrative, meaning don't allow someone else to speak for right. you and shoot a sizzle reel and let a network tell you yes or no. We're going to get the people. Yeah, we're going to, you know.
And we're living now in such a time that you actually can do that. You don't have to wait on the bigger networks to give you the green light to do projects. So, Vaughn, how did you come up with that title? Because that's a really, you know, that title catches you alone.
Thank you so much. I don't know, man. I put it all on, you know, sometimes I tell my brother, I'd be like, man, I wake up in the morning as a writer. I just like to walk around. And as I walk around and get my feet on the ground, things come to me. So I had it for a while. I just didn't know what it is. That's what's one thing I want y'all to remember. Just because you come up with something content-wise or a concept doesn't mean it was right for that moment.
Right.
But it's in your bank and it's time to use it. So when we got together, I know I wanted to do a play. I didn't know it was going to be called that. And then Steven, Mark, and Brad, and Q, and I'm looking around. I was quiet at the hookah bar. I'm just looking. I was like, this is what we're going to call it because we got the perfect mascots for She Married the Ring and Forgot the Man. Because, see, a lot of times you will look at the stereotype of us and you will think that, hey, we're probably not the type of man you want to marry. You know what I'm saying? Inside of the stereotype. Or maybe we're the type of man that got the greatest ring, but we probably ain't nothing on the inside.
Right.
And it's so great. So I like the oxymoron of you looking at us in one light and then you come to the play and you get to see something totally different.
So, Pastor Couch, how did you guys come together to collaborate and put this together since you all are all producers? And they're also women collaborators as well.
That's right.
Let's talk about that if we can.
Well, as Stevie already alluded to, it started with just some phone calls. You know, I mean, I called them because I had a concept in mind. And, you know, when something is great, they say it never ends how it starts. So, like I said, it started off with a talk show, but it ended up as a play. And we also had plans to do a movie as well. Okay. But what we've come to realize and what we've seen from the last two plays, man, by the time it's over, I guarantee you people will laugh, cry, sing, dance. All of that. And you got a little church. We go to church at the end. So everybody's being fed what they need to have an enjoyable experience.
Can we talk about your characters individually? You guys talk about your characters. Oh, let's start with you.
Yeah, Steve. Well, you know, my character is an athlete, of course, that kind of basically lost everything. And now my wife inside of it is creating some turbulence that I didn't like. And so we had to unpack that. And so the beautiful thing about this production is that we go from each scene back to the talk show, The Truth. Okay. So now we're able to interact with the crowd.
Yeah,
we're able to have special guests come in. We had Trina Braxton come in.
Oh, wow.
First one. We had top notch. She has a huge following on IG. You know, people like that to come in and give their energy.
So they're surprise guests.
Oh, my God.
You guys are surprised at this in March, too.
Oh, yeah. Vaughn, let's talk about your character.
My character is the depiction of a man that is absolutely gave up on everything in his life. He gave up on love. He gave up on relationships. He gave up on God because I went through a tumultuous situation and I just want to give it up. But I have a depiction of a great woman who is like, I'm not giving up on you. God's not giving up on you. And, you know, and sometimes you got to always remember throughout adversity, we always ask them questions. Why? Why me? Why this? I just went through a crazy situation right now. You know what I mean? Why I went and, you know, shared with you real quick and went on the road and came back. They said I had a blood clot, went to the hospital and I had 5 blood clots in my lungs. Mm. And they was like, I don't even know how you're going to be here. And the first thing you think about sometimes is what your why is. So your person that's next to you in your life, this depiction is I chose right. Like, this woman is everything to me and she just won't give up on me. And it doesn't matter how weak that I am inside of this play. That's what sometimes we need in our life. We got to make sure the counterpart that's next to your friends, family, in your circle is supposed to be in your circle. And that's what this depiction is.
Yeah. I am a janitor, but at the same time, I'm that small, still voice for the women. I'm that spiritual voice. And actually, after they do their scenes, I come after those scenes and speak truth to power and give the ladies something to be excited about.
Yeah. Now, you alluded to wanting to take this to a larger platform because I know that Netflix is now starting to get into live theatrical performances that people can actually tune into. So let's talk about that. You guys want to take this to a dramatic piece or is this going to be a live action piece?
Yeah.
I think we're going to do both. Like, we're talking to one of our partners, Leo Marshall. We're going to come in and we're going to actually tape the play.
Okay.
But we're going to tape the play like, you know, it's a celebration, like a concert inside of the play.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So people going to come out and perform with names, Kelly Prices, and things of that sort. Our friends Avant KQYE, we're just going out to get them and grab them in and shoot it like it's a theatrical piece plus a play at the same time
okay.
that we can sell. And then we're absolutely going to make our own movie, She Married the Ring and Forgot the Man.
Yeah.
That's going to happen. And we're trying to make sure that we get that done so we can come out in February where all the love is right there and ready for us to come out and take. You know what I mean?
What do you think is the takeaway message of the show?
Ultimately, that every man and every woman is not the same. Every relationship can't be put in a box of a cookie cutter, whatever media told you it is. We're talking about things and we're unpacking things that folks don't want to talk about, but they want to talk about. If you get my drift, mm-hmm. so consequently, you have five different men coming from five different backgrounds, but we all
kind of
go in each other's lane. You know, Brad's an actor, but we're all actors too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's his lane.
Yeah.
I'm an athlete. I come from that background, but you know, Javon played quarterback. He was all state. You know, this. So then you have a pastor, but he's not just a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
He comes from a different background that adds value and validity to what he's talking about inside of his truth. And then you got Q, who's a performer and an artist and an R&B. But then his excellence. So now when you put that gumbo together, and then you add Yana Crowley and Jada Moore, Erica.
Right.
You add Miss Basketball Christina. You add Yolanda. You have these powerful women who bring their energy and dynamic into the play. You're talking about a very tremendous, impactful production.
And if I can add to that, just to make sure people understand, this play is a platform takeaway for the truth to understand that if we can just respect each other's truth, right, we can move our conversations and our love to the one direction, which is north. We want to take it to another level. This platform also with the guys, we are giving platform to black, beautiful, strong women. We are being produced by Sebastiana, who's 26 years old, that's killing it. We got the Black Bettys that are singers and Rick Mell and Carrie Ups. And we are absolutely putting shine on black women in the business that they can do what men can do. They can co-write. They can produce. They can do whatever it is. Tony, that he brought. All these young ladies. So sometimes I think it's up for us as men and kings to put a platform out there for women. So we look like we're in the front, but right beside us is a strong woman as well.
Yeah. What has been the response for the men audience members that have come to see the show?
The men that have come, it seemed like it's more like 70% women, but the men that have come that we actually got feedback from, they enjoyed it just as much as the women, because not only are they getting secrets from a male perspective, but they also hearing the women's side of what's going on in the play, and in turn they're understanding what they need to do as men to please a woman, to stay with the woman, to be a better husband, to be a better mate. It's something, man, whether you're single, whether you're married, whether you want to be married, whether you're getting out of a marriage, starting over again, it's going to meet you at your point of need, man, no matter where you fall.
Now what's going on with you guys individually, because I know outside of the show you guys have amazing careers as well, so if we can start back over here with you.
So Stevie, you know, being an actor, an author, a speaker, I have 9 after-school programs here in the city of Atlanta with my nonprofit, CETA Foundation, continuing to produce other television film projects. Myself, did one with Aspire last year called Mancation. And, you know, always evolving in my consciousness and in my spirit. That's where I'm at. But this platform of athletics, arts, and entertainment is just a draw for me to help use this to change the trajectory of the thinking of our people. So that's where I'm at.
Yeah.
For myself, I just finished. I got one movie called Dating in Atlanta. You spoke about Netflix, that luckily I'm blessed to be inside of a scenario that where some people wanted. Stevie starred in that and killed it. And now I'm doing a new movie that I just finished as well called Driving Black in America.
Okay.
And it got CeeLo Green, Jazzy Faye, Benjamin Crump, Marcus in it, Teddy Riley, so many other different people. And the things that what I love about it is moving the culture forward, as I said, to thinking different inside of their adversity. You think it's about police, but it's really not. It's about driving black people to hate themselves in America. We talk about phase one, which is slavery, phase two, segregation, phase three, affirmative action, and phase four is what we are in now. It's called hate is the number one disease in the world. Have you been tested?
Wow.
Because we love positive. So that's what we're pushing inside of this play, inside of our life, in the CETA program, what Q is doing. He got Q and Friends on tomorrow. We're pushing love, man. It's the love train. And we think that, as melanated men, as Stevie would say, it's very important to connect our cargo and make the train move faster.
And for you, Pastor?
I'm a full-time pastor, markcouchministries.com, Lifeline Church, and I just ended a contract with, we just concluded with E1 Entertainment and WeTV, so I'm behind the scenes. I do a lot in production as well.
All right. Well, you guys just heard from the cast of She Married the Ring and Forgot the Man, which is taking place on March 16th at 7:30 right here at Clark Atlanta University's Davidge Auditorium. You can get more information about the show at WCLK.com. Guys, thanks so much, and we look forward to seeing the show.
Thank you, brother. SheMarriedTheRing.com.
Let's go.
It may rain sometime, can't be all sunshine, may even snow.
This is Lisa Arendelle, and you're listening to Ray Cornelius on Upfront.
My last segment features award-winning filmmaker Deborah Riley Draper. She's teaming up with Oscar-winning actress Octavia Spencer and acclaimed actress Gabrielle Union for a film adaptation of the book Coffee Will Make You Black. Check out our conversation as she discusses the film and her other future projects.
Well, Deborah Riley Draper, welcome back to Upfront. How are you?
I am excited to be here, Ray. You know, I love coming to the show. You have been a support and just an incredible friend to every single project I have ever done.
Right.
So whenever I have the opportunity to stop by and see you, I'm going to do it because you've been there since day one. So covering.
I'm always happy to see you. And yes. I got to take our listeners back. And I know Kathleen's going to be like, well, you said it was me. But you were actually my very first interview. It was you. It was Kathleen Bertrand. And it was Monty Ross. You guys were part of the very first Upfront. But you were my actual first
Tandi Reddick just said it right outside. She just said that.
Yeah.
She's like, you were raised very
first. You were my very first.
She
very first
literally
interview.
Just said
yeah,
it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So welcome back to
the show.
Thank you. And we're so excited about this new project. But before we get into that, what else has been going on with you? Because you've been like all over the place at the award shows. You were at the Oscars, right?
I was at the Essence Women's Hollywood Luncheon.
So
with,
how was that?
My producer on my new film Octavia Spencer. So that was amazing.
What was that luncheon like? Because that's like one of the hottest tickets in the country.
It's the hottest ticket. It was incredible because you're surrounded by people who are dedicated to the uplift of Black women working in Hollywood, Black creators, Black writers, directors, actresses. And you get to feel that energy in the room, and you get to sit there and watch Angela Bassett take the stage. I was sitting right next to, obviously, Octavia Spencer, and you see all of these incredible women who've literally laid down the pathways for the rest of us to follow. And they haven't just laid it down. They've opened the door, and they've reached back, and Octavia's pulling me right through the door.
Yeah.
So that's an amazing opportunity. And as you know, Mickey Taylor from Essence was in my very first film. So Essence always has a special place in my heart. They did a great story on my upcoming film, Coffee Will Make You Black. So being in that room and knowing that this was the first Essence luncheon in forever, where Essence magazine itself is now back to being Black owned.
Wow.
It's back.
Big.
Yeah. And it's Black.
Yeah, it's big.
They so bought themselves back.
Let's talk about this new project.
Yes.
It's teaming you up with Octavia Spencer as well as Gabrielle Union.
Yes.
And this is actually being taken from a book, right?
Correct. The book is called Coffee Will Make You Black. And I read the book a long time ago, and it stuck with me. And I said, whenever I get the opportunity, I'm going to find April Sinclair, who's the author of this book, and let her know I'd love to adapt her screenplay and cross her fingers that she says yes.
Yeah.
So I looked for her. I couldn't find her. And I told producer John Norris, I was like, man, I would love to do this book. And he was like, I'll help you find her. 2 weeks later, he found April Sinclair. 4 weeks later, we'd optioned that book in her other two books. And then I set about writing the screenplay, hoping people would like it. And I'm very fortunate about 13 months after I started the endeavor of adapting her book into a screenplay, I had the wonderful opportunity to share that with John Norris and Tate Taylor. Of course, they did The Help and Girl on the Train. And they said, oh, my God, this script's amazing.
Yeah.
We want to produce it. Would you mind if we share this script with Octavia Spencer? I said, of course not. I don't mind. Oh, my God. And they did. And Octavia read it. And she loved it. And she said, would you mind if I join your team as a producer? And I you know, yeah. may have fainted for about 2 minutes. And then I said, I would be so honored for you to mentor me and coach me. And that's what she's been doing. She's been like the big sister of film that I've never had. And it's rather incredible to be a recipient of that much knowledge and that much goodness. And then she was like, let's share it with Gabs. And I was like,
wow,
who's that?
Yeah.
And she said, I think we should share it with Gabrielle Union. And we did. And Gabrielle Union, who is the author herself of a best-selling book,
right.
she resonated with the material. And we all realized that we're resonating because we have not seen an African-American female coming-of-age story. Mm. So this is like Stand By Me, except with black girls. And black teenage girls from middle-class families get into hijinks as well. And we have those universal moments as teenagers, you know, where you're trying to sort out who are you going to be? Are you going to be kind of the Jack and Jill's kind of girl? Or are you going to run with some of the other girls?
Yeah.
You know, which clique are you going to belong to? If that, who are you going to be politically? And as in the story that I penned, it's set against this backdrop of the 1960s, like the original. But what we're trying to do is really unpack a lot of those taboo topics that really impact our community. Colorism within our community, gender bias within our community, you know, discussions around sexuality that don't occur within our community from the perspective of high school kids.
Yeah. So how, take us through that process of taking what is written in the book and then putting it in a script that will eventually make it to the screen.
You know, I'd read the book many times and I loved the book. And you know, that book form, Ray, is so different from the scripted form because now you have to actually take that and create a proper character arc that exists.
You're bringing it
film.
To life. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And putting in elements that'll have more visual appeal than the headiness of a novel. And also I added in some characters and I added in some scenes for levity because, you know, I wanted people to laugh and cry and also have these an array of African-American characters that represent all of the array of African-American people that are out there. Yeah. We are so not the same. We have different ideologies. We have different approaches to every issue and problem we, you know, incur. And I wanted us to see that. And I wanted to see the different relationships with non-black people, how we relate to white people, how we relate to authority, all in a coming of age situation where you have the hijinks of youth.
Yeah.
The first kiss, should I kiss him? Do I like him?
Yeah.
You know, because you've got the civil rights movement going on behind you. But honestly, when you're in ninth grade, you know you're really thinking about that boy. You're not really thinking about the march.
You're thinking about homework.
You're
thinking about going
homework,
to prom.
The prom.
Yeah.
Do you think he likes me?
Yeah.
do you think he's going to ask me out? You know, as well as thinking about the macro issues of who am I going to be in this changing America?
Yeah.
How am I going to show up? You know, am I going to be Negro, Black, African American?
Mm.
How am I going to see myself politically? What's my identification? How do I self-identify? And what's my intentionality about who I'm going to be once I become an adult? And we still grapple with that question as adults,
yeah.
right?
I mean, just what you just said. How do I show up?
How do I show
you know,
up?
How do I show up? Who am I today? I want to go back to, because this is actually your first time, your directorial debut as or a dramatic piece, right?
You
directed documentaries, but this is your first time directing a drama. So
it is.
Are you nervous? Are you scared?
I'm nervous. I have an amazing support family and film family. That's great. But absolutely, you know, when you take a book, whether it's April Sinclair or James Baldwin or whoever, you're taking a piece of intellectual property with a fan base and people who love it, and then you're going to put it through your lens and through your process. And so you hope that result will appeal to the audience, and you hope it will elevate not just your work, but elevate the original work at all as well. And that's a responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And I think telling stories about us is a great responsibility. I love to work with intent. You know, I like the content to leave you with something. You may laugh, but you're also going to think. You're going to say, okay, you know what? That's a different perspective. And I'm going to think on that for a minute.
Yeah. Now, you started, let me go back. So many doors have opened since you started your first film or since you produced your first film. So how have you taken advantage of these new open doors for African-American filmmakers, African-American women directors? How have you taken advantage of that?
I would say just the democratization of distribution is what helped me tremendously, being able to have access to tools like Tug and Seed and Spark, Film Fatales. I'm a alum of the Facebook Scene Initiative, which is an initiative at Facebook dedicated to creating an opportunity for filmmakers of color to be seen. So all of these programs, Film Independent, Doc Lab, they've really helped with confidence, right? Mm. They've helped me have something to have a conversation about and talk about, in addition to my natural inclination to be a storyteller. But these are resources and tools to equip me to be able to compete, mm-hmm. and be able to, if the door opens, walk in with confidence and be able to hold my own at the table.
Yeah. Now, what lessons or jewels have you picked up from Octavia so far, since you guys have been spending a lot of it? Because I've been seeing you all on social media and you guys are everywhere. So what nuggets have you learned from her?
The grace. She is one of the most graceful women that I've ever seen, and she is kind, and she's incredibly smart. And I think that the lesson is that you can have this tremendous amount of talent and this tremendous opportunity, which she has, but she never loses her connection with people. Mm. She never loses her connection with community. And whatever she does it with in the most sophisticated way and with the most graceful elegance, and I love that about her. And she has a tremendous sense of humor,
yeah.
on top of that. So I love that. And the lesson is, as you go to get the opportunity, you're graceful about it. When you get it, you're graceful. And after you have it, you're still graceful.
Yeah.
And you're kind. And she's reaching back to grabbing me and a whole bunch of other people to make sure that we can gracefully enter the rooms and we can have an opportunity as well.
Now, will this film be shot here in Atlanta? Can you say?
I can't say, but the hope is for it to be shot in the state of Georgia.
Okay. Okay.
Absolutely.
And what's next after this?
Well, I want to make sure that people follow us on Coffee Will Make You Black,
okay.
Movie on Instagram and Facebook. And I say that because what I have learned is this is important to demonstrate to the finance folks and the studio folks and the folks in Hollywood that our precious African-American books and our precious African-American stories have a following,
mm-hmm.
and people actually want to see them, and they equate that to box office. So if you're listening to me and you're interested, go to Coffee Will Make You Black Movie on Facebook and on Instagram and follow us. That helps us tell the story that we support our own. And this is a universal story, but I want everyone to understand that, A, we read, we love books. We love when our books become movies, whether it's Waiting to Exhale.
And we just had the success of Napoli Ever After on Netflix, which did extremely well. So,
absolutely. You know, show up for these pieces, for this film and every other filmmaker that's making something. It's important because we need to make a point that we go to the movies even when it's not Marvel.
That's exactly, exactly. What's next for you?
Oh my gosh, there are a couple of things. I am actually directing a film called Season of the Witches.
Okay.
The writer lives in Atlanta as well, Sherry Day Scott. And so that's next. And I'm writing two additional scripts. So I'm excited about that as well. It's a wonderful time to, I'm embracing my own creativity and I'm embracing my own ability to make content and to be a content creator.
All right. Deborah Riley Draper, thank you so much for being a guest today on Upfront. We cannot wait to see this film, and you're always welcome to come back. You got to come back.
I'm coming back.
Yeah, you got to come back,
yes.
when it's time to promote the film. So, yeah, definitely mm-hmm. got to do that.
Fantastic. Thank you as always, and thank you so much for opening up the mic for the past 5 years. Thank you.
Well, that'll do it for this week's show. I'd like to thank all of my special guests, Stevie Baggs Jr., Javon Dewan, Pastor Mark Couch, and Deborah Riley Draper. I'd also like to thank Reva Blue, the voice of Casting Buzz, and my engineer, Jami Wellman. Upfront is produced by WCLK 91.9. Please join us next Saturday, March 16th, for another exciting edition of Upfront, Inside Atlanta's Entertainment Industry. Happy Saturday, Atlanta.
If you like today's show, please hit us up at WCLK.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Upfront, Inside
inside Atlanta's entertainment industry has been brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM, WCLK, an NPR member-supported station.